Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy, and we thank you for your loving kindness. Father, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? If you brought your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 10, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 35 through 42. Once again, this is an expository teaching this evening, line by line, precept upon precept, book upon book, and I'm very, very excited. So, I've entitled this evening's message, if you want to look on the screen right up here, for your understanding, your learning, your teaching, and I've entitled it, Can You Carry Your Cross? Can you carry your cross? Praise God, praise God. So, if you have your Bibles, now let's turn to Matthew chapter 10, and let's read verses 35 through 42, and let's allow the Holy Spirit to have its way. And it reads, For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against his mother, and a daughter-in-law against his mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. Woo! I want you to catch this. Verse 37. He who loves father or mother more than me is not what? Worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. I want you to catch that, saints of God. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Wow. Now, verse 40 through 41. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives who sent me. Verse 41. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And verse 42, And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he will shall by no means lose his reward. Wow. Isn't that something, saints of God? I can't wait to dig into this. But the gist of this message is regarding your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, you have to understand that God has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. God has called us to carry our own cross. God is calling us, despite of the culture, despite of the cancel culture, despite of what's going on politically, despite of what's going on economically, despite of what's going on financially, despite of what's going on and even in relationships, I'm here to let you know that if we stand for the Lord Jesus Christ in the days that we live in, God will make sure that God will watch over us. God will empower us. God will strengthen us. God will anoint us. God will give us a mouth, hallelujah, to praise Him, to glorify Him, to magnify Him. God will use us in mighty ways. My friends, this is the time and this is the generation that Jesus said that it would be like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. He said it would be like the days of Lot and Noah. You see, right now in the days of Noah, Noah was very violent. It was very wicked, and the days of Lot was very sexually perverse. That's right. Yes, right. So God is saying, look for these signs. I believe we are the generation. We are the called out ones. We're the ones that God busted into our realm, hallelujah, and saved us for a purpose. And that purpose is to preach the gospel, to win the lost at any cost, to be a light before dying men and women who have no hope. We are the hope of glory that lives inside of us, hallelujah, by faith. It is the power of God. It is the anointing of God. It is the grace of God. It is the mercy of God that's upon our lives. And God has enabled us. God has equipped us. God has strengthened us. God has kept us from our mother's womb, hallelujah, for such a time as this, that we would bring forth, hallelujah, the praises and the glory and the honor that's due to His name. God is looking for a people that are walking by faith and not by sight, that are not fearful of what's taking place, because soon and very soon, Jesus will come for His bride, and we are the bride of Christ. We are the ones that are called out. We are the ones that are washed in the blood, filled with the Holy Spirit of promise. We're the ones, hallelujah, that He is coming for. My question is, have you prepared your heart? Are you carrying your cross? Have you picked it up daily, hallelujah, to follow the King? God is saying, follow me, follow me, follow me. That's what Jesus is saying. And He will show us great and mighty things to come. I'm excited about this evening's message. I hope you are too. Because we're going to see through the Scripture that God, hallelujah, has purposed for such a time as this. This right now is relevant right now in the days that we live in. The Scriptures that were written 2,000 years ago is for our understanding and for our learning today. And I need you to know this. I need you to know that the Word of God is alive, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to reach down into the bone and marrow. God's Word will not come back void unto Him. The Bible says that the Word of God is forever settled in heaven. And so if it's already forever settled in heaven, then God said, let it be so. Let God's Word, let God arise, and let His enemies be scattered in the days that we live in. Can I get an amen in the house? Someone give Him praise and glory right now. Hallelujah. Why? Because He's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. So are you ready to expound these verses? Let's go to the Word of God. And it reads in verse 35 and 36. For I have come to set a man, look at this, to set a man against his father, a daughter against his mother, a daughter-in-law against his mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. Wow. Wow, my friends. Let me just say this. How many of you already experience opposition? Opposition right now. Hallelujah. In your own family. You see, saints? Jesus was quoting from the book of Micah. That's right. These divisive conditions led to a yearning for the Messiah. In this context, saints of God, they were caused by the Messiah's coming. Oh, yes, it was. Let's look at the Word of God right here in the book of Micah. Let's go there. Look at this. In Micah 7, 5 through 7, do not trust in a friend. Do not put your confidence in a companion. Guard the doors of your mouth from her who lies in your bosom. For sons dishonors father, daughter rises against her mother, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own household. Therefore, I will look to the Lord, and I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will what? Hear me. Say that with me. My God will hear me. I'm here to let you know, saints of God, some of you right now may be living in a household where there is divisiveness. One is saved, the other one's not. I'm here to let you know that don't go beating them on the head with the Bible. Do not cut them up with the Word of God. Hallelujah. Live the Christian life before them, the godly life. Be the light in the midst of shining darkness. That's right. Why? Because the key is to allow godly jealousy to enter into their heart. They will see that you are madly in love with the Savior. They will see that you have a passion for God. They will see that you have a passion for the things of God. And soon and very soon, they will desire that as well. They will find themselves having an empty life. They will see that there's something missing in their life. And they will look at you filled with joy, unspeakable, going through your trials and tribulations. This is what God is saying. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Be ye removed from what He has called you to do. He has called you to be a soldier for Him. He has called you to be a light. He has called you to be the salt of the earth. Because if we lose the savor of our salt, then it's meaningless. But God is saying, I will strengthen you. God said, I will protect you. You see, saints of God, Jesus explained the response to his call. There will inevitably be conflict between those who respond and those who do not. Sometimes the reaction is violent. Oh, yes, I've seen that. And angry family members become like enemies. Jesus did not come to make such divisions happen, saints of God. Instead, his coming, saints of God, his coming and his call inevitably will cause, saints of God, conflict between those who accept him and those who reject him. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So I need you to have ears to hear and eyes to see. You need to have the power of God, the anointing of God, to give you wisdom and understanding and how to entreat those who are not walking with him. We don't condemn them. We don't bash them. We don't ridicule them. We live the life of Christ before them and watch God do the miraculous. Can I get an amen in the house? Somebody give God an amen in the house. Can I get an amen? Amen. So let's move on to our next verse of scripture. In verse 37, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Wow. Wow, saints of God. Jesus is making a statement here. You see, I've been around many families where they put the family first. They'll put the job first. They'll put the kids first. They'll put their husband first. They'll put everything first, and they'll make everything of God secondary. God is saying, no, 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 no. God is saying, let me be number one in your life, and I will work out all these other things in your life, and I will make things beautiful in his time. Jesus said, I will make it beautiful in my time. Oh, yes, he will. You see, saints of God, Jesus did not force his followers to break family ties to follow him, as opposed to some present-day cults. Jesus was pointing out that his disciples must have singular loyalty to him. When discipleship conflicts with family loyalty, following Jesus must take the priority over the natural love of the family. If one must choose, one must take Jesus. Can I get an amen? We must choose Jesus. Hallelujah. That's right. Look what is written here in the book of Luke right here. Look at this. In Luke 9, 23 through 26. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Did you catch that? Not weekly, not just on Sunday, but daily. And follow me. Verse 24. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Let me just pause right there. That is very key right there. You see, if you want to find your life, lose your life. What do I mean by that? Just give your life away to Christ. Lose this and ask God to loosen you from the culture, from this world's mindset, from the philosophy of this world, because this world is corrupt. But when you lose yourself in Christ, that's when you find your life. You'll find your destiny. You'll find the outcome. You'll find your joy. You'll find your happiness. You'll find your fulfillment, the things that go on to eternity, the things that you do for Christ. Those are the only things that will last, my friends. That's right. Let's look at this. In verse 25 through 26, for what profit is it for a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? Did you catch that? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes into his own glory and in his Father's and the holy angels. I need you to catch that, saints of God. You see, if we put Jesus first, if we proclaim him, if we acknowledge him, if we're not ashamed. Paul said it best. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation, first to the Jew and then to us Gentiles. I'm here to let you know, saints of God, that if God be for you, who can be against you? God, who started a good work in us, will complete it in the day of Jesus Christ. God wants us to exalt Him, to magnify Him, to praise Him, to give Him glory and honor. Hallelujah. He wants us to proclaim the providence of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. And this is what unbelievers need to see. This is what they need to hear. They need to see our life being transformed, hallelujah, into the image of Christ, because they've never seen that before. But once we demonstrate the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, then God will use us mightily, and God will cause something in their spirit to click, and then they will see what we see. God will quicken them and draw them to the cross and give them a mind to be saved and a heart of repentance. Praise God. You see, saints, in order to even consider to take up your cross, you must first be His disciples. That is key. We must learn to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Once you learn to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, my friends, that's when God will take you to the next level. That's when God will lift you up. That's when God will allow you to go through situations and trials and tribulations with peace, with joy. Oh yeah, no one wants to hear that. No one wants to hear, well, man, woe is me, I'm going through. No, you go through with joy knowing that God is with you. God will never leave you nor forsake you. God will strengthen you. God will allow you to learn whatever it is you're going through so that when you get to the other side, guess what? You'll be able to help somebody else go through. Look what it's written in the book of John right here. In John 8, 30 through 32. The Word of God reads, as He spoke these words, many believed in Him. Who? Jesus Christ. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in Him, if you abide in My Word, you are My disciples indeed. Are you catching this? And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Wow. Wow. That's the key. That is the key, saints of God. That's the key. Is just like it says right there in the Word. If you abide in My Word, then you are My disciples. This is what I don't understand in the church. There's wonderful ministries throughout the land, throughout the churches, women's, men's Bible study, you know, home fellowships, and yet people only show up on a Sunday morning. Man, no one wants to be discipled anymore. No one wants to learn how to take up your cross and follow Jesus. It's all laid out in the Scripture. I'm praying that after this evening's message, you will be inspired, you'll be strengthened, that you'll want to go further with Him, that you'll want to take up your cross and say, oh, Pastor, pray for me that I will grow stronger in the Word, that I will know the ways of God, that I will know how to call upon the name of the Lord when things don't go right in my life, that He can fix me. You see, we have to allow Him to fix us because we break down every now and then. Can I get an amen? Oh, yes, we do. And so let's move on to the next verse of Scripture here in verse 38 in chapter 10. And it says, and he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not what? Worthy of me. Did you catch that? Did you catch that, saints of God? You see, these words apply to the disciples and to all who want to be worthy of Jesus. Worthy meaning willing to follow and serve and to take up your cross was a vivid illustration of the humility and submission that Jesus asked His followers, saints of God. You see, when Jesus used this picture of His followers taking up their crosses to follow Him, the people knew what it meant. For some, taking up the cross might indeed mean death. For all, it means denying itself. Back then, they took up their cross, and a lot of them experienced physical death, but absent from the bodies to be present with the Lord. Praise God. But for our day and time, it's basically denying ourselves, denying this flesh, saying, you know what, I'm going to go to Bible study, flesh. You're not going to hold me down. I'm going to go to church. You're not going to hold me down. I want to get into God's Word. I want to praise and worship God and get rid of the worldly music. That's right. That's when you start learning how to deny yourself and to follow and do and honor the things that God has intended for us. God wants to keep us. God wants to purify our heart, but we must allow Him to. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Look what it says in the book of Galatians right here. Galatians 5, 24 through 26. Look at this. And those who are Christ have what? Crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. There's the key. It's laying aside those weight and sins. Look at this. If we live in the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, let us also walk in the Holy Spirit. Let us not be conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Did you catch that, saints of God? My goodness. We're not allowed to, God is saying, don't walk and be conceited, but walk in the power and humility. Praise God. Praise God. Look what Paul wrote to the Roman church. Look what he wrote here. Knowing this, say that with me at home, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. Okay, that means denying ourselves. Doesn't mean that we nail ourselves on a cross. It means to deny ourselves through lust and through worldly means. That the body of sin might be what? Done away with. That we should no longer be slaves of sin. Let me just pause right there. You see, when God delivered me 32 years ago, He delivered me from all kinds of drugs and alcohol. That's right, crystal meth, cocaine, marijuana, liquor, all those things. Those were all the devil's devices. That's right. All his vices cannot bring glory to God. Inevitably, those things will cause a man and a woman to collapse, to be corrupted, and then to be destroyed. But God has another plan for you and I. Aren't you so blessed that God has a wonderful plan for you and for me? That God has something so beautiful in store for us. This is why we need to hold on. We can't throw in the towel. We can't give up. Despite of what we see, despite of what we're experiencing, despite of what's happening in the flesh, despite of affliction, despite of illness, despite of relational issues, we got to press toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. We must lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us and press toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. There's a great reward awaiting the saints of God, awaiting you and I. But we just got to hold on. Hold on with all your might, soul, hallelujah, and your mind. And lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge the Lord, and He will direct our path. Let's finish up this verse of Scripture. Look at this. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we shall no longer be what? Slaves of sin. Verse 7. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also, what? Live with Him. Verse 9, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over Him. Saints of God, I want you to understand this. As soon as this flesh expires, it doesn't mean that we die. The flesh we'll go back to the ground, but our soul and spirit lives on for eternity. And the moment we take our last breath here on this earth, as soon as we reopen our eyes, we were with Him in glory. Oh, that's right. That's right. There's hope for us. There's hope for you. There's hope for me. This is why we need to be that light amongst the darkness, amongst those who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ like you and I. We need to be a voice. We need to be like John the Baptist, a voice crying in the wilderness. Can I get an amen? Praise God, praise God. Look what it also says right here in the book of Ephesians. That you put off what? Concerning your former conduct. Meaning whatever God has delivered you from, don't go back to that, because if you go back to it, it's like going back to your own, like a dog going back to its vomit and lapping it up. I know that's gross, but that's also in the Word of God. That you put off, verse 22, concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you may put on the what? The new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Praise God. See, that's what God has for us. He wants us to walk and live the abundant life. That's right. Only Jesus can give the abundant life, saints of God. And to follow Christ is a moment-by-moment decision requiring denial of self. Following Jesus means taking up the same road of sacrifice and service that He took. You see, saints of God, the blessing for us is that He walks with us along the way. How many are so blessed to know that? That's right. That's right. He is with us. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, let's move on now to verse 39. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will what? Find it, as I just shared and alluded to that earlier. That's right, saints of God. Saints, this is a verse, and it's a positive and a negative statement of the same truth. Clinging to this life may cause us to forfeit the best from Christ in this world and in the next. The Christian life is a paradox, saints of God. Oh, that's right. Let's look at this for a moment. Let's look at this first point I want to put right up here. Look at this. To attempt to find or save your life means only to lose it. A person who finds his or her life to satisfy desires and goals apart from God ultimately, what? Loses life. Did you catch that? I want to leave that up there to you could soak that in. I want to read it back. To attempt to find or save your life means only to lose it. A person who finds his or her life to satisfy desires and goals apart from God ultimately loses life. Wow. Wow. So now, let's go to the second point. To lose one's life for Christ's sake refers to a person refusing to renounce Christ, even if the punishment were what? Look at this. Were death. It would be easier to give one's life in battle or in martyrdom than what Christ actually asked of us. Are you catching this for a moment, saints of God? Are you catching that? My goodness. My goodness. God is so good. God is so good. Look at this. Not only does Christ demand loyalty over family. Look at this. He who demands loyalty over every part of our life. Look at this. The more we love this life's rewards, leisure, power, popularity, financial security, the more we will discover how empty they really are. Wow. Wow, my friends. That's why God is saying, follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to follow Him, saints of God. We need to follow the King. That's right. We need to stay with Him. We need to walk in His ways, my friends. That's right. That's right. You see, the devil thought he had us, and we got away by God's grace, by God's mercy, by God's love. And so, my friends, the best way to find life, therefore, is to loosen our greedy grasp on earthly rewards so that we can be free. Free what? Free to follow Christ. We must risk pain, discomfort, conflict, and stress. We must acknowledge Christ's claim over our destiny and over our careers. And in doing so, we will inherit eternal life and begin at once, saints of God, to experience the benefits of following Christ. That's right. That's right. Let's go to our next verse of scripture. Verse 41, 40 through 42. These are the last three scriptural verses that we'll use this evening. Look at this. He who receives you receives me. And he who receives him who sent me. Look at this. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives, verse 42, one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. Did you catch that, my friends? Huh? Did you catch that? You see, God already wrote this 2,000 years ago for our learning, for our understanding, that we would know exactly what to do in the times that we live in. You see, saints, Jesus described how the disciples should go about their ministry, staying in the homes of worthy people. Those who would welcome the disciple would receive great reward. The word welcomes may refer to both hospitality, receiving the messenger, as well as conversion, receiving the message. Praise God. Jesus' representatives carry all of His authority. That's you and I. And those who welcome the disciples welcome Jesus. Those who welcome Jesus welcome the Father who sent Jesus. And again, Jesus unmistakably claims His relationship to God. You see, my friends, Jesus spoke these words to His 12 disciples, but then repeated saying three more times using prophets, righteous people, and little ones. And to give a cup of cold water was an important act of courtesy and hospitality. The disciples definitely were little ones who were insignificant and despised in the eyes of the world. They were fishermen. They were common people like you and I. And those who would welcome the disciples, saints of God, merely because they were disciples would not lose their reward. And because the disciples would come with God's authority, their acceptance by people would test the people's attitudes. And also God would be glorified. It is that attitude that leads either to reward or loss of reward. And so, my friends, where are you? Let's look at this last verse of Scripture right here, found in 1 Kings. Look at that. 1 Kings 17, 8 through 24. We're going to read a story here, and then we're going to close. But this is where Jesus referenced that cup of water. I want you to catch this. That cup of cold water is significant to God. That means when people honor the things and glorify God. Let me just pause here. When you're preaching the gospel, when you're serving, when you're loving, when you're praying, when you're helping, when you're building up, when you're teaching Bible study, when you're sharing with others about your faith, all that, it's like receiving a reward. And some of those people will give you a cup of cold water. What do I mean by that? They will honor God. They will praise God for your life. And they will allow the things to sink in of what you're saying. Can I get an amen? But woe unto those who reject you. Woe unto those who reject the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go back to this story right here. Look at this. Then this is found in the book of 1 Kings chapter 17. And this is Elijah, the prophet, when he went to the poor lady's house. Let's look at this, how this story unfolds. Then the Lord spoke to the word to Elijah. Look at this. Then the Lord spoke His word to Elijah. Go to Zarephath in Sidon and live there. I have commanded a widow there to take care of you. Look at this. So Elijah went to Zarephath. And when he reached down to the town gate, he saw a widow gathering wood for a fire. Elijah asked her, "Would you bring me a little water in a cup so that I may have a drink?" As she was going to get his water, Elijah said, "Please, bring me a piece of bread too." Then the woman answered, "And surely as the Lord your God lives, I have no bread. I have only a handful of flour in a jar and only a little olive oil in a jug. I came here to gather some wood so that I could go home and cook our last meal. My son and I will eat it and then die from hunger." This was during a famine, my friends. Look at this, how this unfolds. Verse 13, "Don't worry," Elijah said to her. "Go home and cook your food as you have said. But first make a small loaf of bread from the flour you have and bring it to me. Then cook something for yourself and your son. The Lord, the God of Israel, says, that jar of flour will never be empty and the jug will always have oil in it until the day the Lord sends rain to the land." Let me just pause there. You know, there are people who will not give to ministries. They will not listen to the gospel. They will not do anything to glorify God. But in this story, this woman had nothing to give other than the last meal. And you're going to see how this story miraculously unfolds. I'm here to let you know that when you bless the kingdom of God and all of the things that are righteous to God, He will remember those things. He will supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory. He will cause the canker worm to be destroyed in your life. God will bless you. He will bless your hands. He will bless your walk. He will bless your talk. He will bless your household. He will save your household. And all you got to do is honor the King. No differently than this poor peasant widow. Let's continue with this story, that God would be glorified. Look at this. Verse 14, the Lord, the God of Israel, says the jar of flour will never be empty and the jug will always have oil in it until the day the Lord sends rain to the land. Look at verse 15. So the woman went home and did what Elijah told her to do. And the woman and her son and Elijah had enough food every day. The jar of flour and the jug of oil were never empty, just as the Lord through Elijah had promised. Are you catching this? Remember, she only had one meal left. And we're reading here that she has enough every day. Look at this in verse 17. Sometime later, though, the son of the woman who had owned the house became sick. He grew worse and worse and finally stopped breathing. Verse 18. The woman said to Elijah, "Man of God, what have you done to me? Did you come here to remind me of my sin and to kill my son?" That's the first thing that comes to our mind. Let me just pause there. That's the first thing that comes to one's mind when God allows us to go through trials and tribulations. The first thing we come up in our mind, what did we do to sin to deserve this? You see, she didn't have any sin. God doesn't mention that she sinned. He allowed trials and tribulations to come. Why? Because He wanted her to trust Him no differently than how He was supplying the food, the oil, and the bread. And now, her son is gravely ill. And watch how this story unfolds. Praise God. "Did you come here to remind me of my sin and kill my son?" Verse 19, Elijah said to her, "Give me your son." Elijah took the boy from her, carried him upstairs and laid him on the bed in the room where he was staying. Then he prayed to the Lord, "Lord my God, this widow has let me stay here in her house. Why have you done this terrible thing to her and caused her son to die?" Look at this in verse 21. Then Elijah laid on top of the boy three times. He prayed to the Lord, "Lord my God, let this boy live again." And the Lord answered Elijah's prayer. The boy began breathing again and was alive. Elijah carried the boy downstairs and gave him to his mother and said, "See, your son is alive." Look at this in verse 24. "Now I know you are really a man from God." The woman said to Elijah, "I know that the Lord truly speaks through you." My friends, the same mindset that she had when God delivered her son is the same mindset that you must have toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God allows things to come into our life, but what God is looking for, He's looking for you to praise Him, to worship to Him, to pray to Him, that you would trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. You must turn to the Lord with your whole heart when things get tough in your life, when trials come. Some of you right now have wayward kids that have gone astray. Some of you have spouses that don't serve the Lord. Some of you have spouses that have walked out on you. Some of you right now are going through financial difficulty. Some of you right now are going through spiritual darkness times in your life. where you feel like giving up and throwing in the towel, I'm here to let you know that if God, hallelujah, be for you, who can be against you? This is a time to rise up in faith. This is a time to trust in the Lord. This is a time to glorify Him. This is a time to be like this widow woman, hallelujah, who had nothing, who was at God's mercy. Right now, you and I, we're all at God's mercy, and we must cry out to Him, hallelujah. We must praise Him when we are on top of the mountain, and we must praise Him when we're in the lowest of the valley. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm here to let you know that there is hope in your situation. Hallelujah. I want to proclaim blessings upon your life, those who are listening right now. You need to understand that God is for you, that God is not against you. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. I'm praying that God will strengthen you through this. Let me just say this. We don't have time to go into a pity party. We don't have time to say, oh God, I'm going to try it my way. No, because soon and very soon, Jesus is about to appear. He's almost coming to take us home, saints of God. And we must learn to trust Him. We must learn to honor Him. We must wait upon the Lord for all these issues of life, because the King is coming. That's right. And He's coming to take His bride home. And the shofar is about ready to be blasted. Oh, that's right. It's about ready to be blasted. Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church, and look what he wrote. He wrote this, "But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus." Look at this. "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first." Look at this. "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another." Wow. Man, I'm excited. See, your situation, your predicament, whatever you're going through, God already knows. But God is saying, prepare yourself to meet Him. As you're waiting patiently for Him, He will work out those situations of your life. Oh, yes, He will. Why? Because He loves us. He cares for us. He died for us. He's responsible now for us. Can I get an amen? Praise God. But something supernatural is going to take place before we go up with the Lord. He's going to change us. We're going to get rid of this body of flesh. This body of flesh, it's from the fall of Adam. God's going to give us a new body from heaven that comes from God. And it'll be built to live forever. That's right. Look what it says here in the Word of God. Look at this in 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 54. "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be" what? "Changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be" what? "Changed." Look at this. "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed to know? God has our future all laid out. That's right. He's coming for His bride. He's going to take us home. And only those who have repented of their sins, who have been washed in the blood, who have been filled with the Holy Spirit of promise, and are heaven bound and now a hell to shun, those are the ones He's coming for around the world. My question is, are you ready? Are you ready to meet the Lord? Have you repented of your sins? Are you sure without a shadow of a doubt that when this flesh expires, you will be with Him forevermore? My friends, if you're not certain, if you're not sure, don't let this next thing happen when He comes. Let's take a look at this. My friends, I'm going to show this video until Jesus comes. God has told me to keep showing this video because we don't know who is watching. We don't know who's logging in. We don't know somewhere down the road someone may just Google search Amazing Grace, the word Amazing Grace, stumble onto our website, our YouTube channel, and play one of these messages, and God will draw them in, and God would save them. That's right. This is why we put this out. So I'm excited, saints of God. I'm excited. And in order to be ready, that we wouldn't be left behind like that, the Word of God is simple. All we need to do is have a mindset, a change, a paradigm change. Meaning, we were walking the course of this world, and now we have made an about face and we turn to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and we ask Him to forgive us of our sins. That's called the heart of repentance. Repentance is the prerequisite of salvation. In order to receive the grace of God, God's plan of salvation, we have to acknowledge who He is and what He did for us and how He saved us. And once we repent and turn from our sin and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and cry out for forgiveness and mercy, that's when He does the miraculous. That's when He'll come into our life and change us from the inside out. Paul the Apostle, throughout the Word of God, has alluded to it. But the very first sermon was not by Paul. It was by the Apostle Peter, the fisherman. That's right, who ran from Jesus three times. Look what he wrote in the book of Acts. Well, actually, Luke wrote it, but it's found in the book of Acts. Then Peter said to them, repent. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 through 39. Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why? For the promises to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. Wow. There it is. There it is, right there. There it is in a nutshell, saints of God. God is saying, turn to Him. Maybe you're watching for the first time. Or maybe you've been watching for a while and you've never surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, God is extending His hand of grace and mercy toward you. God wants to save you. God wants to turn your heart toward Him, and He will do the miraculous in your life. If that's you watching, bow your heart and your head with me, and let's go before the throne room of grace, and let's ask God to do the miraculous in your life. Bow your head and your heart with me, and pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to You that I'm a sinner. I do believe on Your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that You died for me, and the blood that You shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask You now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person. in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, saints of God. Give God a shout of praise and glory. Somebody just got saved. Somebody just gave their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, if that's you, right down below on the screen is our website. Log on to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. And we would love to connect with you, give you a Bible, pray with you, lead you to a right church if you're out of the San Diego County. But if you're living in the county here, we'd love to invite you out. We're Sunday mornings, live in-person service at 10:30. We're located at 5305 Sweetwater Road in beautiful Bonita, California. And our services, once again, is at 10:30. We worship the King, and God prepares a word for His people. And so I'm so blessed. I'm so very thankful. I'm glad that you tuned in this evening. And I hope you got out of this Bible study what was intended for you to receive this evening. And so, my friends, on behalf of Sister Yolanda and the Amazing Grace family, I want to give you a benediction. I want to read the Aaronic blessing upon your life, and then we can be dismissed this evening, and we hope to see you Sunday morning at 10:30. And so the Word of God reads, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace in Jesus' name. And so, my friends, we love you. God bless you. Looking forward to seeing you Sunday morning at 10:30. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. We give you the